From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in assumptions. What do you assume you know about Iraq? What about young Iraqi students? What about culture, education in that country? How much do you think you can distinguish between Iraqi Kurdistan and other parts of the country? And how much do you think Iraqi students know about American culture? What are the assumptions that they might hold? How do we make those assumptions? How do we understand one another? Well, the Iraqi Young Leaders Exchange program is going on now. It's a program that's about 10 years old, and it has come to Rochester. So for a couple of weeks, about 13 English-speaking high school students from different parts of Iraq are examining leadership development, civic and community engagement, diversity, team building, peace building, interfaith dialogue, and more. And we've asked them to come in and tell us all about what they're learning, what their schedule is like here in Rochester and in the United States, and what we can learn from one another. So I'll go ahead and welcome our guests now, starting with Cecilia Henke, who is Executive Director of Rochester Global Connections. First of all, it's great to have you. Why don't you tell our listeners what Rochester Global Connections is?
Sure. Thanks so much for having us. So Rochester Global Connections is a nonprofit organization that promotes international understanding and cultural exchange by connecting community members with international students and international visitors.
And Emily Atti is a global engagement scholar at Allendale Columbia School. Emily, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And let us welcome Fatima Salim, who is a participant in the Iraqi Young Leaders Exchange program. And home now for you is Iraqi Kurdistan, yes?
Yes, that's right.
In Erbil.
Yes.
Is that the capital of Kurdistan? Of Iraqi Kurdistan?
I think so.
I know you've traveled quite a bit in your life, so it's nice to have you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And here as well is Said Al-Mahani, who is a participant as well. He's 16 years old and comes from Babel, is that right?
Babylon.
Babylon, it's great to have you here. Thank you for taking the time as well.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So, Cecilia, why don't we start with just, you know, what the program is and how Rochester ended up involved in here in 2017. Take us kind of through some of the history.
Sure. So the program is called the Iraqi Young Leaders Exchange Program. It is sponsored by World Learning and the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. So Rochester Global Connections, we've actually been around for 60 years, mainly doing programs for international students at local universities, helping them acclimate to American culture. And we also provide professional exchange programs for international visitors, mostly through the State Department. So a lot of our work has kind of been with the adults that visit here. So we really wanted to take the initiative to focus on youth as well. And so last year, probably around this time, we had the opportunity to apply for this program. And what was really a great aspect of this is we also formed a partnership with Allendale Columbia School. They have a center for global engagement. And so they were also at the same time looking for an opportunity to do some kind of cultural exchange program here in Rochester. So it really just worked out perfectly because we were able to not only bring the Iraqi students here who are staying with host families, having that full authentic cultural experience, but also the opportunity to have local high school students that are able to be immersed in the culture as well.
How many total students coming this way?
So we have 12 Iraqi students. Mm-hmm. In addition, there is one Iraqi adult mentor who will be going with the students, supporting them, because when the Iraqi students return home, they'll be implementing some kind of program or project that addresses some kind of community issue or need. And so the adult mentor will also be helping facilitate that when they return home.
2 weeks, roughly, is the program?
So it's actually a total of 4 weeks.
Oh, it's 4 weeks, okay.
Yep, so it's a larger group altogether, maybe 50 total in this group that came from Iraq. They spent 1 week in Vermont at the SIT Graduate School. They split them up into four different U.S. cities, so Rochester being one of the U.S. cities. They're here for 2 weeks, and then they spend the last week in Washington, D.C.
Okay, and you know, I know you said a year ago you had the chance to apply to be part of this. What do you hope comes out of this? I mean, every one of the students who ends up going home to Iraq kind of creates their own project. We'll talk about that coming up here. But you also have American students involved. And I'm curious to know how you view the ripples of impact that you hope are created with this, Cecilia.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think really this program, you know, the main theme of this program is actually leadership and peace building. And overall, we're preparing our youth to become global leaders. And so I think that's going to have a multitude of an effect. We're also, what we do at Rochester Global Connections is really to promote citizen diplomacy. And so that's really the concept that people have the right or even the responsibility to help shape positive U.S. foreign relations one handshake at a time. So these students, while they're here, you know, they're interacting with so many diverse groups and families here in Rochester. So it's a two-way exchange. So I really hope that people also get out of this just a better understanding of one another, really embracing diversity, but also being able to have a dialogue about that. And overall, just becoming leaders in their own community. But I think it's going to, it'll be interesting to kind of see the magnitude that it really will have an impact on.
Fatima, is this your first trip to the United States?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so this is a great chance to talk about. The same for you?
This is the first time.
All right, so a great chance to explore maybe some of the assumptions that you had versus some of the reality that you're seeing. So let me just start by asking you, what did you expect to find here? You're someone who's traveled, I think it sounds like a good deal in your life.
Yes.
So, but what did you expect the United States to be like? And then how has that differed from your expectation?
Well, in the news, obviously, they don't share the positive sides as much. But every single person I've met so far has been very welcoming and kind, including the host families. And I think that ILUP is trying to have us at, like, a safe place. That's why Rochester has been chosen. But so I didn't really expect people to be so welcoming to Iraqis, especially Muslims and all that. But yeah, all of my experience until now has been very, very positive.
What has the perception been where you are from of the recent American election?
A lot of us coming here, they said that Americans wouldn't really be welcoming us here and that they wouldn't really care. And well, I mean, Iraq isn't really close to America. So everyone was like saying, why would they care about Iraq? And we're just all terrorists and that kind of stuff.
That's what some of the people back home were warning you that the perception
yes.
would be. But you haven't encountered that.
And, oh, no. Thank God, no.
Were you nervous to find that, or did you think that that was probably incorrect?
Well, I knew that it wouldn't be fully correct. And thank God it wasn't. But, well, at the airport, we had some trouble. But that's about it. We haven't encountered any negative things.
Okay. Has the election of Donald Trump changed any perceptions in Kurdistan about the United States?
To be honest, I kind of don't know about that, and I'm not really close to politics and all that.
Yeah, so, absolutely fair. So what is your day-to-day like in Rochester? Are you kind of take me through what you've been doing on a daily basis, if you could.
Okay, so we're all in a host family right now. So we all have different host families, and we wake up pretty early. Eat breakfast, we go to school at around 8:15, we're there, our program starts, we do all kind of stuff, like we have a lot of challenge by choice, so we really meet every, like, different people every single day. Like the other day we went to like a non-violence kind of institute, and our schedule is really packed until 5 p.m. and at on 5 p.m., we go back home with our host families, and then we really enjoy the day with them.
Okay. So it sounds like it's been going well.
Yeah, it really has been going well.
Okay. And I want to contrast that to what life is like. And when we talk about assumptions, I'm sure some of our listeners have assumptions about what life is like in various parts of Iraq. And, you know, frankly, I'm sure some of our listeners have a picture in their mind that is probably not all that accurate. But listeners, if you want to call the program, again, we've got a couple of Iraqi students talking about the Iraqi Young Leaders Exchange Program that's going on now that Rochester is a part of with three other American cities. Is that right, Cecilia, you said?
Right, three other cities.
So it's happening right now. And if you want to call the program, it's toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. What is life, daily life, like in Erbil?
Okay, so I'm in a private school, and I'm pretty close to Mosul, but my environment is very, very safe. I wake up in the morning, do my go to school, study, do all of that, and I come back home at 3 p.m., and I just really have like a normal teenager's life. Go back home, study, go out with family, and sleep. That's about it.
And Erbil is a pretty big city, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there's a lot of nightlife. Is it a fun place to grow up in?
Oh, yeah, of course it is. And our people are very welcoming, too. And, yeah, a lot of people are outside having fun.
How good is the food?
Very good.
Yeah?
Yes.
What is your favorite thing to eat when you're back home?
Oh, it has to be dolma, which is stuffed vegetables with rice and meat. Very spicy and delicious.
Can you find anything like it here?
Well, you guys have stuffed peppers, but...
Not quite the same?
No.
How has the food been here for you?
Very good. I have to get used to it, though, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you think Americans think about Iraq, whether it's Kurdistan or anywhere in Iraq? Do you think, from your interactions with Americans... Do Americans have an accurate picture of what life is like in Iraq?
Well, they don't really think that we're from the city, that it's very dry where I live. We do not have camels. I can promise you that. So what they do think about us is that we are, that we don't usually go out. But if I compare it, our city isn't much different than here. We do the same day-to-day life as you guys have, and yeah.
Okay. How does Rochester, in terms of size, compare to the size of the city where you live?
I think it's about the same size. Rochester might be a little bigger.
Okay. I'm also I'm curious to ask you a little bit more. You say where you live is safe for you.
Yes.
But you're not that far from Mosul.
No, I'm not that far from it.
Obviously, Mosul has been a hotbed of struggle back and forth among ISIS and trying to wrest control there. How closely do you follow that? And is that on your mind on a daily basis? Is it not?
Well, at the beginning, it really was, especially a lot of our people got scared. But after all, we are very, very safe. And we're not that far away. It might be an hour or something like that. But... especially our parents and everyone. At the beginning, of course, people were very scared and trying to escape. But now it's really, really safe.
Okay. What's your perception? What is the general perception, as best you can give us, of ISIS?
Ooh. So a lot of people related to Muslims, and a lot of Muslims aren't ISIS, and ISIS aren't Muslims. So Muslims are against war, and... Islam stands for peace, and we don't like murdering people, and Muslims do accept other religions, and I don't want anyone to compare ISIS to any Muslim.
Strong words. Last question I'll have for you, Fatima, before we talk a little bit more later in the hour. You know, when you go home after this month in the United States, do you have a mission in mind? Do you have something in mind that you hope to take from this experience to take home with you to Kurdistan?
Oh, of course. So after we go home, we all have projects. And something that I'm focusing on is nonviolence, because Iraq has been through a lot. And a lot of teenagers have only seen violence and think that that is the way through. And I know that a lot of people see nonviolence as weakness, and I really want to change that.
That is so important. Let me just probe this a little bit more, because here on this show in recent days, we talked to a veteran, someone who served in the army in the Iraq War, you know, going back about 15 years, and he now lectures on peace and how he believes it's wrong to think that the human condition is always geared toward violence.
He's actually the guy who gave me the idea. We met up with him. We met up with him, and he gave us lectures. And one quote I really liked is that he said, "You can kill the liar, but not the lie." So that really motivated me.
pretty amazing, isn't he?
He really is.
Yeah, we thought so on this program too. So it sounds to me like you, Fatima, you believe in what Paul Chappell, that's his name, what the message he's sending is, it's wrong to think that we will always be violent, that we have that it is natural for human beings to be violent. You disagree with that. But how can you take that home then and work in and again, I don't want to paint a picture of Kurdistan as this always violent place. Again, it's a city lot like ours, right? But you still live in a country that is struggling with identity, struggling occasionally with violence. And, you know, you mentioned that sometimes teenagers grow up and they see that violence is sort of the way, or that it will always be there. How can you take this project home and enact that kind of change in your community?
So what I was thinking about is that even if we can't change the older generation who have been a lot of war and through a lot, that we can change the younger generation and build a basis for the next generation, that's upcoming. And I think that it's very important to have that basis so that other people can build on it. And when I go back home, we're all going to have projects, and we're going to have something that's like a TEDx talk, mm-hmm. but different. So we're going to have a lot of teenagers coming and have everyone talk about it. And we're planning to have a festival or something around that.
That's wonderful. Fatima Salim is a participant in the Iraqi Young Leaders Exchange Program that's going on now. Four American cities, Rochester, one of the four, and they're in Rochester for 2 weeks. So they're right in the middle of that. And Cecilia Henke is executive director of Rochester Global Connections that have helped make this happen. Everything you just heard from her is probably exactly why you wanted to do this, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's been really incredible just seeing what these students are taking in. And, you know, she mentioned she met Paul Chappell, and that was at the MK Gandhi Institute. They also met with teen empowerment. So each day we have a theme. Today's actually about civic engagement. We were just at City Hall having a tour. They just met with the Youth Voice, One Voice, the Mayor's Advisory Youth Council. So, they're just really getting it, and I'm not surprised, because we say they're our future leaders, but I like to say they already are the leaders. So that's really what we're trying to portray.
Well, let me talk to another student. Said Almahani is also a participant and 16 years old from Babylon.
Babylon.
And you've been, have you grown up there your whole life?
Yeah, I was born and raised there.
Okay, and what's the city like? Why don't you kind of paint a picture of your city?
It's like a more calm city than like the more big cities, that Baghdad and Erbil. So it's much like Rochester, and like it's more calm than the other cities. Like it's quite a small city, not as big as Baghdad, but it's kind of similar in a lot of ways to Rochester.
Okay, and what's daily life like for you?
It's like how any teenager would spend his day, like get up, study, have breakfast, lunch, hang out with friends, mm-hmm. sleep, and yeah.
What do you do for fun in Babylon?
We also have like shopping centers, amusement parks, pools, yeah.
Are there football teams?
Football teams, yeah, there are football teams.
What's the most popular national sport?
National football, not football, soccer. Yeah.
Well, that's I'm using the international term for it. We should call it football anyway.
We'll call it football, but
sure.
Here is soccer.
Soccer, okay. Do you play?
Volleyball mostly.
Mostly volleyball, yeah. Okay. And why did you want to get involved in this leadership exchange program? Can you tell me your story on how this kind of happened for you?
We were just like at the English class the other day, and two alumni from the previous year came to our school and like gave a little introduction on the program, and I just thought it was like a life chance that if I get it, it probably changed my life, and it is changing my life. So,
well, those are big words. So, why do you think it is changing your life?
It's like it's really eye opening to like go and see how Americans live their life, and also like explore conflict resolution, nonviolence, peace building, and these are like stuff we're probably not listening to them anywhere in Iraq, because like, you know.
Yeah, and so Said, why don't you tell us the same kind of question I had for Fatima. When you came to the United States, your first trip to the United States, what were your expectations or thoughts, maybe some of your concerns, and how has that compared to what you have found here?
as like Fatima said, I'm really not say surprised maybe because how welcoming the American people are, especially my host families, people on the street. People are like kinder than I thought they would be, especially because like, you know, I'm Iraqi and there was like all these stereotypes when you say you're Iraqi, maybe you're like, you ride the camel to school. Yeah, kind of, this kind of stuff. But actually, there are people here are really kind and really welcoming. And that's like big part of why we enjoy our stay here.
Cecilia, how do you feel, by the way, hearing both students share that message, that what they've encountered here is even more kindness than they expected?
I think that's really amazing. And I do hear it time and time again. Like I mentioned, part of what we do is we connect people here in our community with international visitors, and we promote friendships through that. And that's really what we're about, is that person-to-person connection. I'm not surprised either. I think we have a great community here in Rochester that have opened their arms to these students. It's just been amazing.
Said, there's... In this country, there's a lot more talk recently about what we call bubbles, about how people sort of live in communities that are very much like themselves. Even in this country, you know, the people who have a certain politics don't really interact with people who have different politics. People have, whether it's racially based or how much money people have. And my feeling is always that we can break down the stereotypes and misunderstandings by simply interacting more with people. Yeah. You feel the same? How do you feel about that?
We also kind of have that thing in Iraq where, like, some people live next to, like, people and talk to people, like, who share the same ideas and things like that. But, like, just going to school and maybe talking with the person from the other side and just as you said, like, interact with them, exchange ideas, we probably be able to break these bubbles, and the internet is probably helping with that.
You think the internet's helping with that?
Akit.
I hope so. No, that's great. Do you think we could break down Sunni and Shia? Can we bring people together?
Yeah, probably. Like, we have Sunnis and Shiites in our school, and probably every school. So just that kind of interaction with between the two sides probably helps.
That's great. How has the food in the United States been for you?
I mean, it's good, but it's probably not as good as Iraqi food.
What's the go-to for you? What's the best Iraqi dish for you?
Probably dolma.
Oh, the same? Is everybody...
Yeah, it's like the national dish, probably.
Okay. See, I'm getting an education, too.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to find it. What have you liked best here in the United States?
Yesterday, we had tacos. I never had tacos before.
Oh.
I like them, you know.
Okay. And what has been the most enjoyable part of this experience for you so far? Whether it's people, the things you've done, places you've visited, what's been the most enjoyable for you?
Probably everything, you know, like the whole visit here, the Vermont, the Rochester, like probably, of course, like Washington, D.C. It's all like every moment is special in its own sense. And I'm really enjoying it so far.
Boy, that's a really beautiful sentiment to think that literally the entire experience has been wonderful for you. Does the country look like you expected it to look like?
Probably not. When you hear like United States, everybody in Iraq at least thinks like giant skyscrapers, mm-hmm. and people filling up the streets and yeah, you know, this kind of stuff. But Rochester, it's more calm. It's more quiet, but
they'd like to have more skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Eventually. They'd like to have more people on the streets. No, I take the point. And there's also plenty of parts of this country that are much more countryside, quieter. That it's just fascinating to hear about the stereotypes. What do you think about Americans and stereotypes? You know, it's one thing to say that you've met people who are kind and reaching out to you, making you feel welcome. It's another to say, do you think Americans understand Iraq and Iraqi culture?
I'm like, it's probably just the media. I know the media doesn't show that Iraq is not, most of Iraq isn't like a war zone, flaming war zone. We have cities, we go to school, we hang out, we have fun. But like the media only shows like ISIS, bombs everywhere, mm-hmm. mad people killing other mad people, you know.
Have you ever been anywhere close to violence yourself?
Like a couple of years ago, we had a bomb car at like the end of our street, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. So that's just another stereotype that Americans have, that that's everywhere, that that's all the time, and what we're hearing from the students is that's not the case. And what project are you going to take home with you, do you know?
We're gonna have a special workshop when you go to Washington, D.C. about project planning, and I hope, like, I'm going to do a project with other alumni that probably, hopefully, positively influence the ideas in my city and my town.
Okay. In a moment, I'm going to get our only break, and we're going to hear from Emily Atti, who is a global engagement scholar at Allendale Columbia School. We'll talk to her about what she has been experiencing getting involved in this program, Iraqi Young Leaders Exchange Program. Before we do that, let me grab our first phone call. It's Dan in Brighton. Go ahead, Dan.
I'd like to know that in light of the longest-running conflict in the Middle East with Israel, if the group kids have met any Jews or Israelis, and if they'd like to. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Dan, thank you. Cecilia, you want to start with that? He's asking, go ahead.
Sure. So that's a great question. We actually, on Friday, the topic was interfaith dialogue. So we had our students visit one of the synagogues here in Rochester. I think that was a first-time experience for many of our students, not even the Iraqi students, but our local students participating in the program as well. And then afterwards, we did go to the Islamic Center of Rochester. So we've been incorporating that aspect of religion and how to have those conversations as well.
Okay. Syed, has that been valuable to you?
Yeah, it was valuable. And I want to add, like, when we were in Vermont, we also met with another team of peace builders called the Jerusalem Peace Builders, which was like a program kind of like ours, which like takes Israeli and Palestinian people to the United States and like engages them in peace building dialogues. So that was like another chance we had to meet Jews and Israelis. So.
Okay. Fatima, same thing, same question. Go ahead.
So just like Said said, we met a lot of people and they were actually so welcoming, and I haven't had bad experience with any of them. So, yeah.
Again, there's a lot to be encouraged about here. Listeners, if you want to join the conversation with phone calls or questions, it's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. One more question before we go to our only break. Chaz on Twitter says, the Iraqi students have remarkable English skills, so sad that Americans are generally not even bilingual. Fatima, how many languages do you speak?
So I speak German, Kurdish, a little bit of Turkmen, I know like the basic skills of Arabic.
Okay. Said?
I speak Arabic. It's my native language, and English, and I'm learning French, so.
All right, very good. See, and they do. Chaz, I agree with you. They sound remarkable, but no surprise here. We're learning from them. We're talking about the Iraqi Young Leaders Exchange Program. Again, if you want to call the program, 844-295-TALK. Let's get our only break of the hour. We'll come back and hear from Emily Atti, who is a student at Allendale Columbia School, and talk more with the guests here about their 2 weeks in Rochester and what they hope to accomplish as they go through this program here. We'll come right back. Coming up in our second hour, for parents who want to get involved, it's hard to find time, and sometimes you want to get involved in your community, but you got to wade through things that seem sort of impenetrable, like understanding city budgets or dealing with the media, all kinds of stuff. Well, the Parent Leadership Training Institute, the PLTI, works with parents on exactly these issues. They're growing. We'll tell you about their mission next hour. Welcome back to Connections. Our guests were laughing a little bit, and Said, you got to just tell us a little bit of what we were laughing about here. I like that.
I was speaking English like I used to do here, and you asked a question about I think how the program might help my community, and I just like said "akid," which means like sure in Arabic.
So you jumped back to Arabic for a moment.
Yeah, it was like
I was wondering why you were laughing at yourself there for a moment.
But sometimes like happens, we just like switch to another language. It's just weird.
No, listen, your grasp of English is so much better than my grasp of a second language. I always wanted to get to a point, I tried to, as best I could, learn Spanish years ago, and I wanted to get to a point where I could dream in Spanish or really think in Spanish and not think in English and then sort of translate in my head. Sounds like you guys have no problem with that. When did you start learning English?
We started at school at, I think, third grade. And but like at school, you only like learn the basics. It's really limited. Like you can't like talk freely. But it's just probably YouTube, the internet. You get to like listen to native speakers, and I think that's the thing that helped me the most.
Yeah, same for you. When did you start learning, Fatima?
I started 4 years ago.
But 4 years ago?
Yes.
Four?
Yes.
Wow.
But my school is an English private school. And also my best friend is American, so I'm a lot around Americans and obviously TV and social media.
So you immerse yourself in it, you know, you've got friends around you speaking it. Okay, well, I admire it so much.
Thank you so much.
Both Fatima and Said speaking wonderful English. They're Iraqi Young Leaders in the part of the Iraqi Young Leaders Exchange Program. And if you're just joining us, Cecilia Henke, tell us one more time before we turn over to Emily Atti for the sort of the American's perspective on this. Cecilia, tell us as Executive Director of Rochester Global Connections, again, the kind of the outlook here and why they're here and what's going on these 2 weeks in Rochester and 4 weeks in the United States.
Sure. So Rochester Global Connections and Allendale Columbia are partnering to host 12 Iraqi students for the next 2 weeks to learn about leadership and peace building. We also have local students participating in the program, so it's a full cultural immersion. And we're really, what the essence is, preparing students to become global leaders.
Well, it sounds like it's in process. And Emily Atti is a global engagement scholar at Allendale Columbia School. That means you're in what grade?
I will be a senior this year.
You'll be a senior. How do you like school?
I love it.
And how did you get involved with what's going on here?
Well, I am part of the global engagement program at Allendale Columbia, which seeks to connect upper school students at Allendale Columbia with chances to travel internationally. We host several trips a year or be involved in exchange programs like this. I'm also in pursuit of my global diploma right now, which is an extra diploma that students can receive when they graduate. And it's very rigorous. It involves taking language and culture courses, doing a lot of travel, having relationships with other students around the globe.
How have you enjoyed their visit and what you're learning so far these two couple of weeks?
Well, I'm having a great time. I'm hosting Fatima and another Iraqi student, and we're having a blast, and we're learning a lot every day.
You have traveled where?
Well, I have traveled in the Middle East because my family is Lebanese, mm-hmm. So I've been to Lebanon a couple of times, and then through Allendale, I've also been able to travel to Costa Rica, Madagascar, and then this past year in May, I went to China.
How long in China?
2 weeks.
2 weeks in China. Yeah. And I'm curious to ask you, Emily, the same kind of question that I asked the other students here on the panel about assumptions and about trying to get, you know, probably before you go to China, you're a good student. You're part of a great program. You're learning as much as you can. But we still, through various media sources, we end up sort of taking in these ideas, these images, these expectations, or sometimes stereotypes. What do you think you learned in China that maybe conflicted with what your expectations, or at least what the American media portrays about China?
Well, I think in China, I think culturally it was very different from the United States. I was in Beijing mostly, so you know it's very, very crowded. There are people everywhere, which I think is very different from most Americans who don't necessarily live in cities.
Okay. And how did you enjoy the overall experience there?
It was fantastic. I also got a chance to stay with a host family. So I've been on the other side of this host family exchange. And I was really shocked by the fact that, you know, someone completely on the other side of the globe would just open their home to me and be so completely welcoming and kind.
Absolutely. And now here you are hosting. How important is it to you? How much does it mean to you to hear both Said and Fatima talking about how they have felt essentially nothing but welcome here?
That makes me really happy. Being a host family, you know, I'm worried about their experience and I want them to have a great time. And I, from talking to the other American students in the program, I think that we were really all shocked about how quickly we hit it off. You know, I was hearing people say on the second day of the program, like, wow, I can't believe we're already so close. You know, we're having a great time laughing and talking at all times.
And now with technology, I'm sure these will be lifelong friendships.
Oh, definitely. We all follow each other on Snapchat and social media already.
Let me ask you a kind of a bubble question, Emily, because you go to Allendale, Columbia. It's a worldly program. It really challenges students to think in a global context. So there's a danger that you're going to be in a bubble of really worldly people. You know? do you fear that anybody in your peer group or anybody here you know growing up in Rochester, you know, not only has the wrong idea of what's going on in the world, but the more time you spend with students from Iraq, do you feel like, don't you want everyone to sort of have that experience? I hope the question makes sense to you. Because
I definitely do think that everyone should have these experiences, because when you make a close connection to someone who couldn't be more different from you culturally, racially, religiously, it just shows you how fundamentally we're all the same. And I think if everyone understood a little better, like how an Iraqi student lives their life or had a friend who was in the Middle East, I don't think that these stereotypes would exist. I mean, I've heard these Iraqi students say, you know, we're not terror. We're not war. We want to show you what Iraq is really all about for us.
I don't at all seek to turn this into a political conversation. I do want to ask Cecilia if the proposed travel bans had been any sort of consideration or problem with what you're planning for these visits were, Cecilia.
Right. Yeah. I mean, actually, right around the time I found out that we were approved for the program was actually right at almost to the same day when the travel bans were coming out. So, yeah, there definitely was a concern that I wasn't sure what would happen after that. World Learning is really the organization that does the whole visa process and everything. But, I mean, I guess we were fortunate that it did work out, but yeah, that was concerning, and I think that goes back to just why this is so great, because it just shows, and I think Emily just put it perfectly, just changing those perceptions, because there's people here in the U.S. that are just so welcoming and friendly, and we want to have a diverse community, I'm so happy that it did work out.
Okay, mm-hmm. And did you have any concerns about that? Were you observing what was going on in American politics?
Yeah, it was all over the news in Iraq when the travel bans were implemented. But I did have some concerns that we might not go. But the staff told us, like, you're okay, you're probably going to go. And also, like, the American people, how they reacted to the travel bans, that was really, like, encouraging for us. Because
you mean you saw the demonstrations, the people standing in support?
Yeah, the standing in support of Iraqis and other nationalities who are banned from entering the United States. That was really encouraging.
What does that mean to you to see thousands of people coming out there? Because I guess if the media just reported the ban and didn't also report that response, or if the public didn't respond that way, I mean, Americans may have, you know, mixed or strong views, or at least many Americans may feel strongly that the travel ban was wrong, but if they didn't demonstrate, this is one of those moments where you go, oh, well, we're going to march in the street, is actually going to do anything. Well, here's Sayed is growing up in Babylon, and he sees it.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you?
I'm like, if you just heard about the travel ban, you might, like, think that all Americans think like that. All Americans don't want Iraqis, don't want Iran, Afghanistan, all the other nationalities, they don't want them in the United States. But when you see the demonstrations, you really, like, get a bigger picture that a lot of Americans aren't that strict, aren't that they are more welcoming than, like, what the media portrays. So,
wow. How did you feel about that, Fatima?
So, of course, we were all worried, especially by the time we had our visa interview, and we were all very nervous. But so I felt like it was unfair, and I didn't see why there was even a travel ban. I'm glad that it's over, and I'm glad that we're all here now. And from what I've seen, the Americans have supported us in every way, and they have helped us come here. And even in Erbil, with, like, the American people who interviewed us and for the visa, they have only been supporting us. And after all, the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad has funded and sponsored this program. So, yeah.
Emily, since the election, we've talked to a number of people who have gotten more involved, at least in those kind of demonstrations. And a lot of the time, the people who are really active in organizing communities say you can't just march. You know, whether it's about a travel ban, whether it's about the women's march, whatever it is, you can't just march. You have to be involved. This is a case where just marching sent a huge global signal. I mean, you're hearing that in two young students, and these are your peers. I'm curious to know how you feel about that, knowing that the message reached them before they even came here, that that it wasn't just one monolithic viewpoint, that this country had a lot of open arms for them.
Well, I'm really glad that these Iraqi students, are questioning the idea of...
Let's get a little closer, Mike. There you go.
I'm really, really glad that these Iraqi students are understanding that, you know, not all Americans hold these views. And having a lot of family in the Middle East, it's really scary thinking about, you know, not being able to go see them or them not being able to come here. So I completely empathize with that.
Celia, how do you feel about the message that they received with that? Pretty amazing stuff.
I do think that's amazing. And I just think it's a prime example of, with one voice who can make a difference, we can come together and encounter some of the messages that that we want to change. So.
And the media at least did show them those images. I mean, you heard that from the students. And what the media, what the news media decides to share goes towards a lot of what, the debate over so-called fake news, or at least evaluating sources of news. Is that at all a discussion with students and a focus?
We haven't brought up those specific subjects, but I think just on their own, the students have, realized the messages that they're seeing through media contradict what they're actually experiencing.
Let me read a couple of listener emails. Jay writes to us and says, while I appreciate organizations like this and I am thankful for their successes, I have to say that I find it absurd that a country that created or helped to create Iraq's very conflicts, he's talking about the United States, would bring over those who've lived through it and then advocate for nonviolence. I think Jay's just saying it feels hypocritical that in his view, the United States has been culpable in a lot of division, violence, etc. But how do you feel about that, Cecilia?
Sure. I mean, we're a bipartisan organization, both us, World Learning. These things politically have happened. It's really not about that. It's about kind of, it brings it back to humanity. So that's really what we're about, is bringing together people of different backgrounds and cultures, religions, and seeing how we can actually all work together and tackle issues. Because although, you know, these youth are going back home to their countries in Iraq, tackling some of their own community issues, I think while they're here, they're saying, you know, we also have similar challenges. Maybe it's caused by different ways. But I think, you know, how can we move forward and how can we all work together? I think it's something that can happen, and that's what we're trying to encourage.
Jennifer wants to know how our guests think that the United States views Islam. Now, Fatima touched on that earlier. You said you want to send a very clear signal on that Islam is Islam is about peace.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell Jennifer, our listener, and then we'll ask Saeed the same kind of question. But go ahead, Fatima.
Okay, so Islam stands for peace. And actually, one of the biggest things in our religion is that we're not supposed to kill at any time. And what ISIS is doing is not representing Islam. And a lot of Muslims actually don't see them as Muslims. And I really want to put out there that ISIS are not Muslims and Muslims aren't ISIS. We're not all about war, and we're not a our religion isn't all about violence, and our religion doesn't promote violence. So a lot of people think about us as terrorists and people who cover up, but just like any other religion, we just live our own lives.
Okay. Said?
When I got here, my host family, the first thing that they said about that is, we don't think Islam means terrorism and stuff. So that's, the first talk they gave me. But, when you just go on the internet, you can see, how much Americans have these views, and also how much other Americans don't have these views. So it's probably, a split issue in the United States, but as far as I can go. I've never seen someone like in the United States discriminate against me just because I'm Muslim. Or, you know what I mean? So I think it's like our visit until now is it's great.
Wonderful. Back to the phones we go. Let me take a phone call from Sandra in Canandaigua. Go ahead, Sandra.
I'd like to know about the artifacts and architecture of your country, whether it's been lost with all the fighting or whether you've been able to save things.
Sandra, thank you. She's asking about art and architecture. Because, again, this is a case of sometimes in the media we hear about destruction of artifacts, certainly in Palmyra in Syria. ISIS mm-hmm. took control, which is an old historic site, and unfortunately destroyed some of the objects there. But I don't know nationwide if that's an issue. So, Fatima, art and architecture, has that been damaged at all in recent years where you are?
I actually haven't heard a lot about that. And I'm not sure, but from what I have seen, I don't think that our country has any problems with that.
Okay.
I think it's like not a really big problem, but just like a couple of weeks ago when Mosul was just getting liberated, ISIS like bombed a really like called in Minara al-Hadba, and then Mosul has like really ancient monument there and just like bombed it just before they liberated it. So we do have these problems, and it's probably just because of ISIS.
Thank you, Sandra, for the phone call. We've got a few minutes left, and so let me ask Cecilia. We've asked about, you know, the goals for the students when they go home to Iraq. What are your goals for students like Emily and American students who are participating and getting involved here?
Yeah, so, you know, as we mentioned, some of the students are getting accreditation from Allendale for the global diploma. But I hope that this experience also motivates them to continue thinking about, you know, not only, like, what are the issues happening here in Rochester? You know, we're talking about the issues in Iraq, but we also have issues here, and how can they, you know, get involved on some level, whether that's volunteering or some local organization that they can volunteer with, or maybe even start their own project. We talked a little bit today about starting peace circles as a tool that maybe students can start back at home. So something small, but really can take them far. And I hope they continue to learn. I think, you know, it's definitely an eye-opening experience for the students, but I think it's also been an eye-opening experience for the host families. So I hope that people, you know, continue to go out of their comfort zone, to continue to learn about other cultures, and to do things like, you know, hosting and so forth, to continue to kind of challenge their worldview about things.
And let me ask the two Iraqi students here, where else in the United States, if you had another month and you could go wherever you wanted, Said, where are you going?
That's a hard question, because like the United States is like so diverse in its geography that you can't like get the full picture just by getting to a few cities. So, but if I had to choose, it'd probably be like California, maybe, because like it's really diverse.
What's your image of California?
Big skyscrapers,
you know. Also, well, that's like my the opposite of my image, but interesting.
But also like a really high quality universities, you know, University of California, and also like it's also on the coast, so maybe a nice beach.
Well, there's plenty of beaches there, yeah, for sure. What about you, Fatima?
So a lot of our students imagined America like Hollywood, and how it showed in the movies, and a lot of us got excited when we heard that we're going to New York, Rochester, New York.
Oh, no.
A lot of us thought about New York City.
New York City, yes, yeah. Yes. This has probably been the only letdown you've had.
No, actually, it isn't a letdown. But just like saying it, I would love to go to it's like Carolina, California, somewhere around that. But unlike him, I don't imagine it like skyscraper. I imagine it like the beach and sunny and just perfect.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, Rochester is not New York City. And there's plenty of Americans who, by the way, when we tell, isn't it true, Cecilia? You tell friends in other states, oh, I live in New York. And they say, oh, you know, Manhattan.
Right. Huh?
And you're going, no, no. And you know what? I like it just fine this way. Cecilia, some final thoughts for our audience. We've got about 30 seconds left here. What you want to leave the audience with here? I have so much appreciated meeting these students and hearing about their journeys. What do you want to leave the audience with?
Sure. Yeah, I just hope that you know, this just hearing these stories and how it makes such an impact both on our local students, on the Iraqi students, changing their mindsets, breaking down stereotypes. You know, there's so many ways to get involved here in Rochester. I kind of like the saying, "Think global, act local." So get involved, host international students. We have over 6,000 international students here in Rochester at universities. We host international visitors throughout the year, so come check us out and make a difference.
And find you more about what you're doing where?
RochesterGlobalConnections.org.
RochesterGlobalConnections.org. Thank you, Cecilia.
Thanks.
For bringing them in and saying hello. And our thanks to Emily Atti. Good luck to you.
Appreciate
learning your story. And Said and Fatima, I will just say, you know, everybody occasionally experiences people who don't have their best interest in mind, but I hope that the image you leave this country with is of overwhelming and friendship, love, and as Emily said earlier, the realization that we may be from very different parts of the world, but we're not that different. So learned a lot from you both. Thank you for being here. Good luck to you, Fatima.
Thanks for having us.
And say thank you. Really appreciate that. All right, much more connections coming up.